Okay.
All right, I will call to order this online public meeting. It is September 2nd, 2020. My name is Sean Denniston, and I'm the chair of the Historic Preservation Commission. You should be able to see tonight's meeting agenda on your screen. If you can't see the screen, I'll be announcing the agenda items as we move through the meeting topics. Due to the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, regular meetings and public hearings of the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission will be held in a virtual meeting room. This will allow for safe participation by commission members, staff, and any citizen interested in attending. Members of the public and applicants have joined as an attendee, which means you can see and hear the event if you've joined via computer or mobile device, or you can just hear the event if you have joined by phone. Other event participants cannot see your video and cannot hear your audio unless you are acknowledged by the commission chair or staff and are unmuted. This evening's agenda is planned as follows: roll call and introductions, minutes approval, public comment, public hearing to amend the nomination of the Clark County Heritage Register for Summit Grove Lodge, public hearing to add the nomination to the Clark County Heritage Register for the Old Cemetery, discussion on roof replacement at the Slocum House and the Clark County Historic Museum, some new business and old business, and adjournment. So we will start with roll call of the HPC members who are present for this meeting. Staff, please introduce yourself before you begin your presentation. Commission members, please say "I'm here" after I call your name. Bon.
Bon, I'm here.
On. And it is Greg Fuzz, right? Foods?
Foods.
See, I'm terrible about this. Belly Garcia.
I'm here.
Andy Greg.
Here.
Michelle Kapitanovich. And Donald Trost.
Here.
All right. So let's move on to our meeting minutes approval. I'll take a motion for approval of the August 5th meeting minutes.
So moved.
I'll second.
All right. It is moved and seconded. Do we have a... Oh, so we'll now take the votes. Sharon or Jackie?
Sharon?
Sorry, I was talking to myself there. Julie?
I approve.
Andy?
Aye.
Michelle?
Aye.
Greg?
Yes.
Belly?
Yes.
Sean?
Hi.
Okay, that's unanimous approval.
All right, so the minutes are approved. So we'll move on to public comments. If any members of the public are in attendance would like to make a public comment on items not on the agenda, now is the time that you can do so. Please keep remarks brief and to the point. You have 3 minutes to speak. Jackie will provide instructions on how to make public comment for those joining us through their computer or mobile device and those joining by telephone.
Sorry, Sean, so that was the August 5th minutes, but we gotta do the August 18th minutes as
oh,
well.
Oh, we still have, oh, that's right. I'm sorry. So we'll go back just a moment. We'll move to public comment in just a minute. So I'll now take a motion to for approval of the August 18th meeting minutes.
So moved.
Do we have a second?
A second.
All right, we moved in second. Don or Julie, take your pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ladies first, give it to Julie.
All right.
It wasn't actually me.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I just want to give whoever it was credit.
So then we'll go with Dawn. So we're moved and seconded. Sharon, would you take the roll call vote, please?
Julie?
Aye.
Dawn?
Aye.
Belly?
Aye.
Michelle?
Aye.
Greg?
Yes.
Andy?
Aye.
Sean?
Yes.
Notice I'm going with first name. And that passed unanimously.
All right. So the motion passes. So now we will move on to public comment. So Jackie, if you would.
Sure. For those of us or new members of the public that have not used WebEx before, just some instructions on how to raise your hand to indicate that you would like to make comment. You need to open the participant window in order for the raised hand icon to show up. So if you hover over at the bottom of your screen, you will see these icons and you'll want to click on the one that looks like a little person there. And then the raised hand smaller icon is on the lower right hand corner of your screen. So if you have a comment, please raise your hand now. When you are acknowledged, you will be unmuted. And once you have finished your comment, please click on the raised hand icon again so we know we've gotten to you. There is some information here about a party of record, but we'll go over that when we are in one of our hearings. So that is not relevant for just our general public comment. So we have two members of the public in the audience. I don't see any hands raised yet. And just for sake of practice, I don't have anyone calling in, but first, just in case, for those that do call in, you do press *3 on your number panel to raise your hand, and you're let know by a recording that you have raised your hand. Once you're acknowledged, we'll unmute you, and you will have you'll hear something that says you've been unmuted. And once you have finished your comment, you press *3 again to lower your hand. Well, it doesn't look like we have any raised hands, Sean.
Okay, seeing no public comment, we'll move on to our first public hearing. Jackie, would you unmute our applicants?
Yes. Okay, Brad, you should now be in the panel and can unmute yourself and turn on your camera. And then while you do that, Sharon can start her staff report.
At the call of the public hearing to meeting, so I'll now call to order this online public hearing on the topic of amending the nomination of Summit Grove Lodge at 3810 Northeast Timmin Road, Ridgefield, Washington, on the Clark County Heritage Register. The steps involved in the hearing process are shown on the slide. Do any commission members have any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest?
No.
I will disclose that I wrote the architectural description for the state register nomination for this, on which this update is based. However, I was not involved in this update application. So Sharon, go ahead.
Okay. So this is HST 2020-00002 Summit Grove Lodge Amendment to the Clark County Heritage Register nomination. Okay, so this site is already on the register. It was listed in 2003, and then a new nomination was put together for the Washington State Heritage Register in 2019. And in the process of conducting the research for the Washington State Heritage Register, it was discovered that there were a great many factual inaccuracies and lack of evidence to support many of the claims in the 2003 nomination. And that's why this amended nomination is coming forward to correct that. It will just replace the 2003 nomination form if it's approved. You want to go to the next slide, Jackie? These are the, Jackie, next slide, please.
Yeah, sorry, it was stuck.
Okay. The Clark County Code 4250.030F provides the criteria for determining eligibility for designation, and we have to use the same criteria to amend it. I think you can go to the next slide, Jackie. I mean, it goes one by one through the criteria. So the first criteria was is it significantly associated with the history, architecture, archaeology, and engineering? And staff finds that it is the only remaining physical structure of what was once a thriving auto park on the Pacific Highway in the county. And the lodge is the only remaining example of the rustic style and naturalism movement of the early 20th century tied to auto tourism. The site meets the second criteria. It has integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, and feeling. The auto park did originally have 15 acres of parkland and other buildings, and the lodge is the only part of that's intact. Now it's a 4.47 acre site. It is 93 years old. The dates of significance of 1927, and the lodge has been in continuous use. Next slide, Jackie. So in addition to those three criteria, there's a fourth criteria that it has to fall into at least one of, and this property meets three of those criteria. It's associated with events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of the state, and that was the auto tourism industry, the auto park, roadside restaurant, and other buildings. It exemplifies or reflects special elements of the county's history. I kind of reviewed that already. I don't want to repeat, but and then it's associated with the lives of persons of significance, and that is let's see, William and Mary Marshall, who purchased the property in 1927, who built the structure. There are several other names that are associated with this as well. Hold on, sorry, I lost my place. I'm looking at two screens at the same time. Okay, so Thomas Headley purchased this in 1891. William Mary Marshall purchased this in 1927 and then built the lodge. So it meets all the four criteria. And next slide, Jackie. And staff is recommending approval of the amendment to the nomination.
All right. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for staff? I have one question while other people think. So what will happen to the old nomination? Will it stay on our website?
I believe no. I believe this will replace it.
Okay.
Because the old nomination contained incorrect information.
Mm-hmm. The reason I ask is the old nomination also is a record of perception of time. If it remains, there is a value to keeping it available, but if it is kept available, it definitely needs to be marked that it has been replaced and why it was replaced, or we just don't leave it available.
Well, Sean, I think especially it will definitely be attached to this record, right? Because it's part of your packet. Mm-hmm. So it will always be kind of connected as the hearing for this item. But we can chat more about whether or not we post it along with the updated one on the webpage, or it's more just part of the record. And if people wanted to find it, it will be available upon request. Okay.
All right. Are there any other questions for staff? All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the applicant presentation.
Okay. Is it good for me to go?
You're good.
All right. Yeah. No. I just want to thank the commission for letting me speak to this today. About a year and a half ago or so, we were able to start the process to get Summit Grove Lodge on the Washington State Register, and in that process, we looked to the Clark County nomination that was done in 2003 as kind of our guiding document for what we would then map over to that state register, thinking that it would be a fairly simple transfer of a lot of that information. And as we dug into it, we found first initially in our assessment of the original nomination, just a pretty pervasive lack of sourcing of the material that was used to be cited in that original document. And so as a result, obviously wanting to be, you know, responsible and knowing that the state would have requirements on our sourcing and citing, we went back to start to verify each and every sentence and claim within that document. And as we did that, we found that there were just some inaccuracies. What it was, you know, not anything necessarily completely made up in whole cloth, but more of just information from what we can assess was passed down through locally sourced documents from people coming from kind of a local history background, as opposed to a professional preservationist or historian having assessed or looked at documentation that was used. And we ended up finding a pretty, what we're certain was the source document was one that was created as kind of a promotional piece for some owners of the lodge back in the day. And that's where the original dating that was incorrect in relation to the property, the 1840s date, was established from that document. And then other claims that we were unable to verify to some degree, but the general tenor of the site, and obviously eventually realizing this as the last existing auto park site in Clark County, really came to light. The site is still connected to Thomas Headley, just later than initially stated. And then also we've been able to expand on the understanding of the Marshalls. William Marshall was actually a local political official, and his wife worked for a local state institution locally. So they were fairly prominent locally individuals. And then this was kind of a thing they did in their mid to later years at running Summit Grove Lodge. And so, you know, as we went through that process, we basically went through and utilized land records, newspaper documents, written records that we could find, that we could at least verify with more than one source to make the claims that we were making, and then also assess the general nature of auto parks in Clark County and what still existed to this day. And that's where we came up to our version that we used for the Washington State Register, and then is now being proposed as the update. And so we feel fairly confident in the material that we've cited, the resources that we've provided. It did pass the test with the state, so it is on the state register. And, you know, we just were really excited to have that opportunity to take a look at this document and just provide some appropriate care to make sure that the information in there is cited and correct. And we feel that, you know, this is a strong document, and it is true that the original document, it did come from local sources and individuals in the community. So I think it is valuable to have people be aware of, and it's also valuable for an instruction tool as the commission, people come onto the commission, and also for folks submitting to the commission based on, you know, potential sourcing and certain materials that may be cited for these types of nominations that could either be problematic or would need better examination. So I can take any questions if anyone has any, and I just appreciate your time and letting us have this opportunity to provide this, you know, what we feel is a more accurate version of the story of Summit Grove.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for Brad? All right. Seeing none, we will go ahead and move on to the vote. Wait, no, we don't. Well, do we have any public, I'm sorry, do we have any public comment on this issue?
Sorry. So again, I just want to give the instructions. We do have one member of the public. I believe she's affiliated with Summit Grove. So if you would like to say anything, you have to click on the participant icon, which is found if you hover at the bottom of your screen, if you're using your computer, or if you are using an iPad, I believe you just touch the screen and that should pop up. You click on that and you should see the raised hand icon become available on your screen in the lower right-hand corner. So raise your hand if you would like to speak on the public hearing for the Summit Grove Amended Lodge. I will note that if you wish to retain the ability to be party of record on this matter or to challenge or defend any decision, please state and spell your name and provide your address for the record. Please note public comment is limited to 3 minutes. I don't think we need to worry about that too much tonight. So make sure we accommodate all speakers. And again, if you're, when you're finished, if you could click on the raised hand icon again to lower your hand. I don't think we have any callers in the audience, but if we did, you would want to click or hit *3 on your, oops, sorry, number or phone pad to raise your hand, and then you will be told that you are have raised your hand, and we will acknowledge you and unmute you. And then to lower your hand, please click on *3 again.
All right. So do we have okay. any public comments?
I don't think we do not have any raised hands.
All right. So seeing none, we will. And we also want to remind you that if you do want to maintain party of record, that now is the time to speak. So with no public comments, the public hearing is now closed. The commission will now deliberate, and the commission must take the findings that either agree with the staff's, we must either agree with the staff's findings on each criteria and make specific comments on any finding. So is there any comment from any of the commission members? Or any discussion? All right, nice. And this is a pretty straightforward one. So I will now accept a motion, including your finding for why we would support or reject the staff's finding from any member of any of the commissioners.
I move we accept the staff findings.
All right. Do we have a second?
I second. This is Julie.
All right. Any discussion of the motion? Sounds like we didn't really have any before. All right. Sharon, please take the roll call vote.
Okay. Julie?
Approve.
Don?
Yes.
Aye.
Shelley?
Aye.
Michelle?
Aye.
Greg Booth?
Yes.
Andy?
Aye.
And Sean?
Yes.
That's unanimous.
All right, the motion passes. Thank you for coming, although I think you are staying, Brad. So we are going to now open our next public hearing. And I will now call to order this online public hearing on the topic of nominating the old cemetery to the Clark County Heritage Register. The steps involved in the hearing process were shown on the slide earlier. Do any commission members have any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest? All right, hearing none, staff will now give summary of the staff report and recommendations.
Great, thank you, Chair Denniston. Mark Person here from the City of Vancouver. Good to see everyone tonight. We're discussing the Vancouver City Cemetery. This is located at 2700 East Mel Plain Boulevard. Can we go to the next slide? Jackie or Sharon? I'm not sure who is running the show tonight. But.
Yes, hold on 1 second.
No problem.
Okay.
It's basically north of Mill Plain, east of Grand.
Okay.
Here we're seeing an aerial photograph. The nomination identifies applicable Clark County Heritage Register criteria 5 and 9. So 5 is that the site's association is associated with the lives of persons significant in national, state, or local history. And criteria 9 is that it is a cemetery or burial site which derives its significance from age, distinctive design features, or from association with historic events or cultural patterns. And then you can just keep going. I've got some street view images here. We can take a virtual tour of the site as I go through this. In my staff report, I just pulled the statement of significance from Brad Richardson's nomination. We can see that some of the Hidden family is buried there. In addition to Esther Short, some Slocums, So you can see there's some real pioneers of Vancouver that are laid to rest in this location. And per Vancouver City Code, similar to Clark County Code, we have our criteria here on page 5 of my staff report. The site needs to be at least 50 years old, has integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association, or is associated with history, architecture, archaeology, engineering, or cultural heritage of a community, and meets at least one of the criteria listed in 1739-070, and those are the two criteria I listed earlier. So we find that because it's associated with lives of folks important to the city of Vancouver's history, and because of the age, the gate on the southern side here, or the gate and the fence on the, especially on the southern side along Mill Plain, there are also some historic, heritage trees in this cemetery. Staff is recommending that the HPC approve this site for nomination on the local register. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions about the process. And if you have any specific questions about the research, I would happily defer those to Mr. Richardson, as he did the research on this one as well.
All right, before we move to that, do any of the commissioners have any questions for staff?
Mark, it's Michelle here. I was wondering, are there any other cemeteries on the local register?
I believe there's one in Clark County. Maybe Jackie or Sharon could help me, but I don't know that there are any others within the city of Vancouver on the local register.
Yeah, we have one other cemetery on the local register. It's Sunnyside on the east side of the county, I think kind of north of Camas. It was a settlement called Sunnyside. And I think even till today, the original families that settled in the area are still burying their family members in that cemetery. So it's a pretty cool story. You should check out the nomination for sure.
All right, do we have any other questions?
I have one small question. It's a little slow there. Are people still being buried in the cemetery?
That's a good question. I might defer, Commissioner Vaughn, I might defer that to Brad. I don't know that. It's a good question.
Okay.
Jack, do you want me to answer that right now?
Yes, please. I do not know.
Go ahead.
So I'm not certain the last couple of years, but it is no longer active for purchases of plots. But there are families that have purchased plots before that time had closed that up until recent years have been burying family at the cemetery. I'm uncertain if there are any left that have yet to be utilized, but there are more recent burials of families there.
Brad, I have a question for you.
There we go. Well, let's wrap up any questions for staff, and then we can move on to Brad. And if there aren't any, then we'll let Brad go ahead and make an applicant presentation, if any.
Okay. Yeah, I essentially, just very quickly, I think that you probably saw the document. It's pretty straightforward when it comes to Vancouver's Old City Cemetery. It's the site of burial for many people who from the Hudson's Bay period all the way through, probably the mid-century Vancouver. It has a specific Masonic section, which makes it unique in the city of Vancouver, especially for the early date of that. And it is the early municipal cemetery. And this is probably the beginning of it from going to the county to probably eventually being on the state also because of just the age of the cemetery and also the significance of the historical individuals that are laid to rest here. And I think, you know, at this point, I'll just open it up for questions because it seems like a fairly straightforward site.
So Brad, my question regarding the cemetery was that, so this was sponsored or supported by the City of Vancouver?
Yes, so the City of Vancouver reached out to the museum for us to complete this nomination. And this was a paid project for the museum to complete this.
So I guess my point was, is that, so this cemetery is not associated with any particular church?
No, this is a municipal cemetery.
Okay.
So Brad, I was curious what the source is for the George Washington connection on the Chestnut Oak.
That one is from Urban Forestry, so we pulled the material from them, so I didn't go back and cite their sources. If you'd like, I can go back and speak with Urban Forestry to pull that. We just pulled those additional resources in. We're not proficient necessarily in the heritage tree information, but I can definitely follow up and make sure that there is nothing that is incorrect in that assertion.
Yeah, I think that considering what we just discussed, I think that would likely be a good idea.
Yep.
No, the whole Washington slept here is quite relevant.
Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely reach out to Urban Forestry and make sure that we verify any information that they provided through that.
Do we have any other questions for Brad? All right. Do we have any public comment?
Okay, let me do my, so you get to that. Sorry for the scrolling. Again, we haven't added any new members to the public. So again, if you'd like to participate in this hearing and be a party of record, please raise your virtual hand, and that's by clicking on the participant icon and seeing the little hand on the right-hand corner of your screen, lower hand, to let us know that you would like to make comment on this matter. And if you've joined us by phone, then it is *3 on your phone number panel to raise your hand, and we will unmute you. And then you do the same, *3 to lower your hand.
And I'll remind everyone again that if you wish to be a party of record on this matter, that you need to issue public comment now. All right, seeing no public comment, this public hearing is now closed. The commission will now deliberate. Just like before, we will either vote to support or not support the findings of staff. So we can start with a motion and then discuss from there, or we can start with discussion.
Actually, I was wondering, it's Michelle here. Could I ask one more question to Mark?
Yes.
Yep.
Mark, I was wondering, it's a municipal cemetery, so it's City of Vancouver. So what's prompted you to do the nomination? You know, the cemetery has been around for, you know, decades and decades. Why do the nomination right now? Is it just time, or what was the thinking on that?
Commissioner, I think Jan Bader started this as an effort to, I think, preserve, you know, put another layer of protection on the site, and also make the case for maybe, I think I recall Jan saying, you know, if it was on the local, we might have a better case of getting some state funding to keep the gate or to repair, make repairs on the site. I think that is what I recall from talking to Jan Bader when she was kind of spearheading this.
Okay. All right.
Well, so yes. Now, I guess, Michelle, what I would say, sorry, Sean. Mm-hmm. I guess I would wholly support the nomination. For me, it was a pretty fascinating read to, you know, learn about all the people that are in that cemetery and to learn about the trees and the significance. So I fully support this nomination.
Yeah, I do as well. I think the one thing once we get to the motion phase, I would like to see the motion conditioned on verifying the heritage tree information, since that information is secondhand. But all of the rest of the information, as I looked through, I was really happy to see how well documented it was. I mean, that's why the heritage tree information stood out. It's because, yeah. And I also want to say I would hate to see the heritage tree information lost. That's something that we don't have a lot of in our county, is, and especially since we just lost a heritage tree, making sure that we include that. I would really like to see that documented and included.
I'll just make a comment on, I was really happy to see this nomination. I think cemeteries often get overlooked, and yet there's such an interesting wealth of information in cemeteries, I find. So I was really pleased to see this nomination. And like the others have said, it was a fascinating read. It was really grounding in terms of the community and who was here and how their lives are connected. I was a little bit, I find this a lot throughout history, is that there's often like 10 times more men mentioned than females. So I did notice that there was a little bit of lack of the women that were in this community at the time. You know, obviously Esther Short was emphasized quite a bit, but other women were kind of wives of. But overall, I really was excited about this nomination, and I think it's an excellent thing that you brought forward. Thank you.
Any other comments? If not, then I will entertain a motion.
So I move that we approve the cemetery's nomination to the local register.
I second.
Can I offer a friendly amendment that we condition the approval on verifying the heritage tree information or removing the information from the nomination?
I would agree to that.
Yes.
All right. So the motion as amended is that we approve the nomination of the city cemetery to the Clark County Heritage Register, conditioned upon verification of the heritage tree information or removal of the heritage tree information from the nomination. So Sharon, would you please take the roll call vote?
Julie?
Aye.
Don?
Yes.
Sally?
Aye.
Michelle?
Aye.
Greg Cluse?
Yes.
Andy Gregg?
Aye.
And Sean?
Yes.
So I have a question. So it's approval with the condition to verify or remove. So who's deciding which one it's going to be?
The applicant. As conditioned that way, it can be approved without that information, because it's still it's the criteria even without the heritage tree. If it can't be verified, so then it just gets removed.
Okay, so that motion passed unanimously.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Brad. So we are going to move on to our next agenda item.
Sean. Before we move on, can I make one comment?
Yes.
I heard earlier some comments from some of the members of the commission that they find cemeteries fascinating. I think when you get to my age, you'll find them less fascinating.
A little bit more personal. All right. So our next item of business is a discussion of roof replacement at both the Slocum House and Clark County Historic Museum. And Jason Nortz is going to read, is going to lead that. This is, oh, no.
It's Mark's going to do it today.
Oh, Mark's going to, okay. And this is a informational discussion. We won't be making a decision on this. So Mark, go ahead.
Great, thanks, Chair Denniston. Yes, just wanted to give the commission an update. I think this has been on our radar for a few months, obviously sidelined a little bit by the COVID situation, but the plan is to replace both the roof on the Clark County Historical Museum and the Slocum House here, hopefully before the end of the year. Per our code, replace, you know, it's not an exemption to a certificate of appropriateness. And I should mention both of these, for everyone's reference, are on the local register. But this a staff review, per our code, re-roofing using the same type and color of material is a staff level review. So I plan on reviewing those and issuing them here, hopefully in the next few weeks. So hopefully we can keep both of those structures leak free through another winter.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's any, expert opinion on the re-roofing or anything that I should keep in mind, I'd be happy to hear that to include in those recommendations and decisions.
Do we have any questions or comments for Mark?
Mark, how old are the roofs on those buildings?
Commissioner, I knew you were going to hit me with something. No, it's a good question. I will have to follow up because I don't have that information available, but I can check with our maintenance staff and see if I can get an estimate on that.
They are both asphalt composite shingles, aren't they? They're both modern materials.
Yeah, that's my knowledge. And I should note, I mean, it's probably obvious, but maybe it's not. Neither one of them are the original roof of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already, it's covering up another re-roof, but I guess that's another question too. I can find out. I don't know if they're putting down another layer or taking the shingles off. So that's something I can come back and fill the commission in on next month too.
And it would be just like for like, it would be more, and the same visual appearance as what's on there now?
Yes, you may be familiar, the museum has kind of a different look, more of a scalloped, or I'm not sure what the exact technical term is for it, but yeah, I think it sounds like our folks have found something that looks similar in design to what's on there right now, and then similar for the Slocum House.
Mark?
It's Belly. Hi.
Yes, hello.
I just want to know, after the repairs, how long is that supposed to sustain the roof?
I'm not a roof expert, but I think most roofs have a lifespan of, maybe someone can help me out, about 20 years. Does that sound right to other folks on the commission? I know.
I was thinking 15, yeah.
I think most 15, 30 20, years.
30.
Having just bought a house, that's generally the lifespan that I'm aware of.
Is it a new, is that like a brand new roof though, or the patchwork that's being done? Is it going to be 30 even if it's like patchwork?
No, you're right. It's a new roof.
These would be new roofs though, in both cases.
Okay.
And if there's more than one layer, it would be a tear off and reshingling. Do we know what were on these buildings originally? I think we could probably guess with the Slocum House, but the museum, I think, is another matter.
I don't know. I'll dig back into the nomination to see if there's any reference to what was in there originally, but I don't know unless
Brad might know. I think as long as we're re-roofing, it's a good opportunity to take a look and see if the roof that's on there is appropriate. And while, you know, technically a like-for-like replacement can go through with a staff approval, it would be good to take a look and see if what's already on there is appropriate, and maybe there's an opportunity to put something more appropriate on if it's not appropriate. Now, modern roof materials are modern roof materials, but if there was something very different on these buildings, then it might make sense to try to correspond to that better at this time. And just, you know, seeing if we can find the answer to that question would be good.
Points taken, Chair. I will look into that. I think if it was something special that was on there, it's probably not going to be in the budget that we put back on. So it could be a different conversation, but yeah, let me look into that.
But it's at least a conversation worth having. and it may turn out, you know, if depending on the roofing material, there's, you know, this is one of the issues with preservation where sometimes the lowest upfront cost is a higher long-term cost. And for a municipality that is entrusted with, you know, the public purse, sometimes that does make sense, even though it might be a little bit harder up front. Do we have any other questions for Mark or any other comments? All right, well, we'll look forward to hearing more about this. And it's good to keep those roofs not leaking. Preservation starts with the roof.
That's right. It's an important piece. Thank you.
All right. So we will go ahead and move on to new business. So we'll let Sharon give the good news about the grant.
Yeah, so we applied for a grant. It's an annual grant program that the Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation puts out for certified local governments. And our application was for to hire a consultant to write a mid-century modern context statement and to conduct a reconnaissance level cultural resource survey inventory for 40 to 50 prominent buildings in the county. Most of those buildings are in Vancouver, but there could be some in other places in the county. So yeah, we were awarded that grant. It's about $15,000, and we will implement that primarily next year, 2021.
Does anyone have any questions for staff on that?
I have one question. I guess it's maybe too new, but have we identified who will be doing this survey?
Do we know? Not yet. Once we get the contract, then we will have to submit, a request for proposal. We'll get a competitive, at least get 3 quotes anyway.
That's great.
And I
so
want
we
to-
have our- The first property, mid-century modern property on our register is the Port Vancouver Regional Library that you approved a few months ago. So we hope this will be encouraging property owners to put more, to request more properties be listed, and the context statement will help them with their nomination.
And I want to thank staff for such great diligent work on this. I know it took a couple of rounds going through and to make sure that we got all the details right on this. So good work. Thank you very much for bringing this to our county. So now we'll move on to our next item, which is, as we discussed briefly at our last meeting, the Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation, the Washington State agency, has asked for comment on their preservation plan. We formed a subcommittee to put together some formal comments from the commission rather than just doing individual comments from individual commissioners. Those were sent out earlier today for everyone to look at. And so what we'll be doing now is discuss any of the comments that the subcommittee came up with, see if anyone has any questions or any modifications, and then we would vote on whether or not to send these comments along to DAP as the official comments of the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission. So hopefully you've had a chance to go ahead and look at the comments that the subcommittee of myself, Andy, and Julie put together. Does anyone have any questions about the comments that we put together? And does anyone have any issues with including any of these comments in our official comment to DAP? Oh, nice and simple. So thank you, subcommittee, for taking the time to read through the preservation plan. So I will now accept a motion as to whether or not to make these draft comments are formal comments for DAP.
I would make a motion that we DAP.
Right, do we have a second?
Second.
All right, so Michelle made the motion and Don seconded. Do we have any discussion of the motion? Just like to give the opportunity. All right, well, hearing none, Sharon, would you go ahead and take the roll call vote?
Julie?
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
Kelly?
Aye.
Michelle?
Aye.
Greg Booth?
Yes.
Andy Gregg?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
That is unanimous.
All right, the motion passes unanimously. So we will get these comments formatted and get a signature on them and get them off to DAP. Thank you, everyone. And do we have any old business? Sharon or Jackie?
Nothing from staff.
All right. Well, look at that. Look at, oh, Julie, you had something?
I have two questions for the commission. Mm-hmm. Several months ago, there was a commission on demolition, and you guys were compiling some materials for that that we were going to review. And I know that Alex had mentioned in his parting statements that he hoped that we continued with that. I was curious where that's at and if we are going to continue moving forward with that discussion. And then my other question is in relation to, there was that one. And the inventory, this document that, you know, we talked about sometimes in our commission meetings, but that was never actually publicly shared or known. What was in the inventory? So I'm just curious if we're ever going to revisit that so that we can get that information. So those are my two questions.
Okay, well, why don't we start with the demolition, since we did kind of come to a holding pattern, and we've lost Alex, one of the subcommittee members. So you know, we could reconstitute the subcommittee member, the subcommittee, and pick up where we left off. I know a lot has come up in regards to demolition in the last few months, so it probably makes sense to revisit where the subcommittee left off before it comes back to the commission. Does anyone have any thoughts? Or the Don and I were the other subcommittee members, or anyone who might want to join us? And I should ask Don whether you want to continue or whether you would like to ask someone to replace you.
I'm willing to continue, certainly.
As am I. Are there any thoughts about having the subcommittee bring it back?
I think it would be very worthwhile. My question is, how far, I refresh my memory, how far had we gotten?
We came to the point where the subcommittee had some preliminary recommendations for how the county could better handle demolitions from a procedure standpoint, but we kind of found there at the end that maybe that those recommendations wouldn't have worked as well as we would have liked, you know, going back to what we have learned recently about how demolitions are handled. So I think the subcommittee would need to revisit the what they had done so far and come up with revised recommendations for the commission to then make, you know, to take to staff and the county. All right. Well, it sounds like there is interest in continuing the subcommittee. Is there someone who would like to join to fill us out to three? Maybe one of our new commissioners?
Sure.
All right. So Greg will be joining, and we'll go ahead, and it'll probably be one, you know, video meeting or a phone call meeting. We can talk about where we've been and bring something back to the commission for discussion. All right. So Julie, your other question was about the inventory. This is the Clark County.
Yeah, no, that's a good inventory. Question. Yeah, that's a good question because I recall it being discussed and I remember Alex emphasizing that he's heard about this great inventory that was done maybe 10, 15 years ago or so, but he's never actually seen this. I think it was the inventory, but maybe others recall that conversation as well. Was it the inventory?
I'm sort of thinking of
this. Yeah. And it sounded like this, I'm sorry?
Should I speak to this? I can answer this question.
Yes, please.
Okay, so what we're referring to is the Clark County Cultural Resource Inventory. It was last done in 20 years ago, and then before that it was hadn't been done in a 20-year interval. So it's being done in 20-year intervals. So we had some remaining grant funds from DAP, an amount of about $1,600, and we got approval to reallocate that. So we hired the Clark County Historic Museum to scan all of the Clark County and the city's Clark County Heritage Register nominations and all of our cultural resource inventory forms. It's ongoing right now. It'll be done in October. And then we've worked with IT staff so that they will be creating like a database. So we'll be able to hang these documents and on our Historic Preservation Commission webpage. And the museum is using, Brad can correct me if I'm wrong, software that allows you to scan or search by keyword, I think, we're getting that. So we will have these, there's a like 4-page inventory forms. These were like windshield surveys. So, you know, filled out a form by hand. They're not super complete, but it is a start of information for somebody to follow up if they wanted to write a nomination. So that will be on the webpage. And then, of course, with the new grant funds that we got for the mid-century reconnaissance level, those will be new cultural resource inventories. So we've been able to hit every 20 years to do some type of new cultural resource inventory. Does that answer your question?
Yes. And I think also kind of woven into that were some early conversations when I first came on the commission, when you had showed us that list of just a casual search online to see what was for sale in Vancouver. And there were a lot of historic properties on there that were not on any kind of record for historic properties, or they weren't really accounted for, if that makes sense. So they weren't on any registers, and you only found them because you had done that initial search in like some kind of real estate page. And I think the question then was, did we want to continue to compile, you know, the list of properties that we wanted to include in that inventory? So I don't know if that's kind of a different subject altogether, but it sounded like there were some gaps in the information we do have and the information that we could have. Makes sense.
Sean, you want me to address that?
Sorry?
Do you want me to address that?
Yes, go ahead and answer? If you can. Right.
So that is, it's a slightly different question. So the last inventory that was done 20 years ago, there were some gaps. It did not hit every area of the county. It's not hit every property, but we don't have funds to do that. Like, we were lucky to get these funds for the mid-century properties, and we won't hit every mid-century property. We'll have to try to apply for a grant again at some point to like pick up missing properties. But DAP advises that when you do these inventories, you do them either thematically, like we are with mid-century, or do them in a geographic area, because it's very time consuming and expensive to just sweep the county. But we'll have to think about that. I mean, some year, how do we pick up some of those gaps?
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Sean, I have a question for you. When we when we did our subcommittee work, we had put together some recommendations, as I recall. And one of the issues was the rule. Well, it's what we run into with the city of Vancouver over the whole demolition permit without it coming before us at all, if you remember. And one of the things we talked about was what legislation might be necessary in the city and the county. And I think that's where we got stuck, if I remember. But I don't have those complete notes. Did Alex have those, or do you have those? Because that would be a good starting point for us when we reconvene.
I have the most recent version of the recommendations that we were working on, and I can definitely send that around to the subcommittee before we talk, and then probably some notes to bring Greg up to speed and to remind you and me what we talked about.
Well, yeah, I forgot. I'm sure I forgot some of the facts of what we did. And so are you going to take charge of calling the meetings, et cetera, for the subcommittee?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
I had an announcement.
Yes.
On Friday afternoon, Commissioner Garcia and I are going to be going to Camas to be representing the Historic Preservation Commission at the unveiling of the historic collage panels at the U.S. Bank parking lot.
All right, thank you for reminding us. So thank you both for doing that. It's always good to be represented out in the community.
Take pictures.
I definitely will take pictures. I'm super excited.
As a campus resident, I probably ought to join you. When is it?
It's going to be at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon in the luxurious parking lot of the U.S. Bank building at 430 Northeast Adams.
And of course, other commissioners can go. You just need to make sure you stay in different groups.
and don't communicate.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think of communicating with you there, Andy.
Heavens no.
Well, with COVID, I don't think it'll be that challenging.
And this one's funded with
I will give you Semaphore.
Don't forget your mask.
This is funded with Hotel Promotion Grant Fund, so it's kind of nice to see how it's being used.
Right. Can you guys share that information for those of us who might have taken Friday off and might want to pop by? Can you just put that in a quick email, just so we have it?
Sure. The application for the grant?
No, the address and the time where it's at.
But you got to be careful about being in a quorum, though, right?
Well, we may melt into the crowd. Nobody would even know we were there.
Seriously, is that a problem if more than three of us show up?
It can be.
It can be.
But if there's
the appearance of impropriety,
we can make a notice. And post it. I think we have to post something online. We can find the rules. I think there's like a 24-hour period that we have to notify the public that the commission, there might be a quorum of the commission going to a public event, just so that people know.
I'll solve the problem. I won't go.
No,
not a problem.
I'll go Saturday and look at them myself separately.
You go, Don. You go.
I'm downtown anyway.
Well, it's a simple matter of just public noticing that there could be a quorum. It doesn't mean that there will be, doesn't mean that we have to go. We just like to be transparent.
No,
so
that's fine. I wasn't trying, I just didn't realize I was creating a problem.
No, because I don't think
extra work for the staff, especially this close to Labor Day.
All right. Well, are there any other items to bring to the commission's discussion, the attention from the commissioners? Seeing none, I want to thank you all for staying on point tonight. 1 hour is far better than 3.5 or 4.5. This is much more back to normal. So thank you all. And we will work to keep it this way, but we'll also make sure that we are completely addressing all the issues before us. So that being said, we are adjourned. Thank you everyone very much for coming tonight.
Hey, team.
Good
thank
night.
You. Sir. Night.
Have a good day.
Thank you, Sharon and Jackie.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you.
Hey, Jackie? Yes.
I did not.